And the rest of me is all like, we should donate this to like a natural science museum and not have it in our cupboard, guys. Like,
Part of
you
you is like that.
know, the rest of me is all like, check it, wolf head.
It's the one that they've got too is not in great condition, and it's creepy as fuck. I've seen it in person. It is not cool. It is weird and creepy
It
and
creates an
weird.
impression. Let's go with that.
It is
Okay.
creepy. Creepy.
Any chance it is cursed or haunted?
Yes.
I would go with a
Yeah.
moderate chance that it's cursed and haunted.
Guaranteed.
That was a pretty strong yes from Chris.
It's Kevin's creepy as fuck.
So, I know that John has seen City on the Edge of Forever.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Everyone has seen this episode of the show. It is,
If it is all you see, this is what you see.
yeah.
It is as if this is the only episode of the
It
original series
out
you've
there
seen.
with Tribbles. Tribbles could be the
Oh,
only episode.
yeah.
Tribbles could also be the only episode, 100%.
Are we sure that's not Harry Mudd?
It feels like it should be.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is.
Yeah, no, highest rated, as far as I know, because I haven't watched, like, sorry, caught up with all the dates for the next two seasons for the original series, but as far as I know, highest rated episode on the original series, period.
And it's the penultimate episode of this season. They follow up this one with brain amoebas or whatever, and then that's, well, actually, that wasn't how it originally aired, so I don't know.
Yeah, God only knows.
The order we're viewing it in.
Did you
This
and I
is
watch The Alternative Factor? I can't remember.
the alternative factor. Read me the synopsis.
I haven't actually read that myself, so, you
Oh,
know.
sorry.
Reality jumping madman.
Oh, did we skip one?
I think you skipped that one. I don't have any notes on us having watched that.
No, we oh well, I guess I mean I didn't mean to hype you up for the City on the Edge of Forever, so I guess
If it makes you feel better, I hyped him up on that.
we can
That's
watch
fine.
we can watch that one if that's what you guys want to watch.
Right. So do we want the stats?
About the alternative factor or
Yeah, that's the one that we're actually watching, the literal lowest rated episode of the season and possibly the entire series.
I don't remember this at all.
No, I don't either. Did you not watch this? No, because you skipped this one with your Friday group too, didn't you?
By accident, yeah. So in fact, so that basically puts us all caught up because now I got to show them this.
Yeah.
Unless this guy is hunting like a giant thing that eats spaceships. But
I'm actually reasonably certain he's hunting himself, and he's a special kind of crazy. Like, this is a
okay.
Jekyll episode.
Oh,
Jekyll and
yeah.
Hyde.
Oh, like evil mirror universe, but different.
Not like Mirror Universe at all, like Jekyll and Hyde.
Like
Oh, you mean it's the same guys? I'm confused.
two
Reality jumping, so I was figuring like
two
two
bros, one
reality versions
body.
of him,
Give
not
or
him
take.
himself, but acting like both people.
Sort of, but yes, there was science, and now he turns into an evil man, and he is determined to stop the evil man that is
But it
him.
is one physical body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was two physical
I
bodies.
do not remember if that distinction was present in this episode.
That's why I was confused for a
But
second.
you're all like, it's like the Mirror Universe. I'm like, no, it is precisely like the classic story.
Yeah, I was thinking Mirror Universe, but I was thinking two courses.
That might be the mechanics of it. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out.
It's been a while.
Either
But the
way,
guy's mustache sort of jumped off the screen at me.
it
Yeah,
is a
look at
pretty
his
iconic.
mustache.
Unfortunately, though, that means that we're not watching the greatest episode of sci-fi
No,
television ever.
there's e way easier commentary on a shitty episode. And you know it.
It is. It really is. So the stats that matter. It's the 27th episode of season one, which originally aired March 30th of 1967. Directed by Jerry Oswald and written by Don Ingalls, who I
All
don't think
right.
we've had much of either of them. Jerry did The Consciousness of the King.
Okay, that's a neat one.
Yeah, I'm not seeing either one of them otherwise, though. So, and I'm not going to pretend I might have just missed it. You know what I
No
mean? But
worries.
I
Yeah,
haven't.
I'm not asking you to
I
scour the dock right now.
scroll through it when I'm doing this part, you know? Yeah, so first time for Don Ingalls. Please don't screw it up. But the IMDb's 5.7 out of 10. I think you did.
Oh no. All right, let's take a look at it
Let's do it.
Hi, welcome back to The Least Ready Room, a Star Trek about pot and podcasts. I'm Dave. You heard me talking to Chris and Sean, aka Chaos. Sometimes Saint and Weebs and other people are here. There's a whole crew. I guess I don't know. I need to know who, like, officially is on the podcast so that I can. I always. You know what? Someday. You know what? By the end of this season, I'll have it wrapped up. We're almost there. Two more episodes after this one. And then maybe next season I'll have a little more structure and maybe we'll talk about it a little more because there's nothing more. Nothing I like to talk about more about how I shouldn't be talking about making sausage when I'm doing the intro to the podcast. This is The Alternative Factor. It's about a man that realizes there's another man just like him on the other side of some universal causeway, passageway, a negative film hallway to another world where there's another man who he hates because he doesn't hate anyone as much as he hates himself. Maybe this is like, maybe we should put more thought into talking about this one. Maybe this is the episode about the deep self-loathing that can have a science fiction adventure effect on you when you're living deep in space. Thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room. Let's talk to, we're going to talk to Saint, and then we'll talk to Chris and Cass again, and then we'll have a question of the week at the end. So, here we go.
I personally find reasonably so.
I liked it. I don't remember that one. I don't remember watching that one, but,
Oh, looks like we're going to talk to Thrash also. Hooray.
I don't know why it was the worst rated one, because a couple of those very early episodes were pretty rough.
Yeah.
That is a very solid point, yeah.
Let's see.
I think there was a lot of back and forth. A lot of it wasn't explained. The guy's motivations were not there.
Kind of thin.
A lot of the middle of it was real back and forthy. Like he stole the dilithium crystals on two different capers for some reason. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you steal dilithium crystals once.
Yeah.
So this actually was episode 20.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right.
In terms of like the order it was written, it was written in November of 66.
It's interesting.
Apparently there was an earlier version of the scripts in which one of the Lazaruses has a romance with the engineering lieutenant Charlene Masters.
Ooh.
You know, this seems to be a theme. This is not the first time I've looked at this compendium and seen an earlier draft contain a romance element that was later dropped.
Yeah, I think. Did we talk about that on the Spore planet or some other planet where, yeah.
Well, I mean, the Spore planet did have a romance. I'm trying to remember what other episode it was. I don't remember off the top of my head, but there was some episode where it was like there was a romance plot. Oh, it was with the Purge planet.
Oh, it was. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
One of the extra guys there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, seriously, these episodes are only so long. So, like, if you've got a romance subplot, you can devote about, like, 3 minutes to it. In The Alternative Factor, we see the area in which the dilithium crystals are recharged and tied into the Enterprise engines. This procedure and the set itself changes throughout the series. The crystals also change.
Yeah.
In Mudge Women, they appear to be rounded quartz-like crystals. Here, they are flat shapes that resemble thick sheets of mica. Yeah, they keep changing. They're like, what should we make the dilithium crystals look like? This? No. Maybe like this.
Yeah, I don't recall them ever looking like these slabs or cartridges or whatever they are.
Yeah, no, this is totally different.
I also don't feel like you can just pull them out of a drawer and wrap them in a towel and take them off the ship.
Yeah.
They seem like they would be dangerous to handle in that way.
Especially with as much energy that they're, you know, expelling. Right,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, you would think you can't just stick them in a backpack.
What do we see? I see here. So perhaps part of the problem is the result of the quick deadlines of television production. This may have been an extremely rushed episode. There are only 4 days between the writing of the first and final draft scripts. There also only appears to have been a last-minute change in casting for the starring role of Lazarus.
Oh.
Some of the publicity photos released on the Alternative Factor contain captions crediting actor John Drew Barrymore with this role.
Ooh.
Yeah, his name is penciled out and replaced with that of actor Robert Brown.
Hmm.
That would have been the father of Drew Barrymore, I take it? Or
Yeah. He was a big actor.
Wow. Yeah, I thought. Huh.
So maybe he was supposed to be in it, and then he backed out at the last minute. And they're like, "Fuck, get this other guy, Robert Brown." Robert Brown is a dynamic performer. He was in this. He was
Gal.
Oh, he had some incredible scenes of him yelling at
like the really makes your eyes fucking pop out of your head.
Really excellent beard. Really excellent wispy beard on both the versions of him.
I'm not sure I would say really excellent. It was just how bad it was.
It was so bad. There's a lot of soft science about what antimatter is in the antimatter universe, but there's not really any explanation about.
I can forgive that though.
Oh, ultimately, it's fine. Yeah.
I'm like this is not right at all, but you know what, whatever, that's fine.
But I mean, like trying to maintain the suspension of disbelief though, it seemed like they were just kind of science word salad touch.
Sure. Oh yeah, which Star Trek is famous for.
Yeah, it's notorious for that. Like, the funny thing about Star Trek is that it kind of wants to be hard sci-fi.
Yeah,
but it really isn't, because it is written by Hollywood writers, and not, you know, putting down Hollywood writers who know how to write like characters and stories and, you know, all that important stuff for what is ultimately, you know, a TV show.
Uh-huh.
But they don't really know science.
Yeah.
That's okay. Whatever. It's, you know, ultimately it's like you suspend your disbelief to a certain point and you say like, all right, well, that's not how antimatter works, but whatever.
It's no, right.
What of more cool is Shatner sitting on the bridge at the end saying, but what of Lazarus?
But what of Lazarus?
Locked in a weird blue room.
What of Lazarus? Locked in a room with a crazy person for eternity. A crazy version of you who wants to kill you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
These shows all... A lot of what they also do is... But they do try to write... I mean, this might not exactly fall into what I'm saying, but... They do try to write a human story first, and, you know, maybe something that even parallels modern times, and then they try to put the science fiction coding on it, which kind of leads to what we were talking about. That.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think it's best when you see it's like a science fiction story where the sort of like the science element and the character elements are both really good and interwoven really well together. And, you know...
This is ultimately kind of neither. A little bit. Like, it's a little... It is fun, and I do like talking about alternate universes.
Yeah, the Lazarus versus Lazarus conflict was kind of ultimately a little flat. Because just, like, the other Lazarus is just like, yeah, I'm going to go jump in the madman hole with the madman.
Glad you got here so I could explain during the final 15 minutes of the episode, yeah.
Why did I not explain earlier when I was like flipped situations before?
Yeah,
like I don't know. I just didn't feel like it before.
There's not really, even with the antimatter, there's no real explanation, and not that there should be, but there's no reason why they would be swapping bodies really, and there's not even really when they do swap, there's no, yeah, why didn't the guy say something, basically? It's exactly. Weird. I'm not sure if that even has much to do with what's going on, the body swapping.
Yeah.
Because most of the actual plot is just crazy bandage Lazarus. What did you call him? But it's bandage Lazarus trying to steal dilithium crystals. That's most of the meat.
There is.
I'm not there really isn't any plot, anything plot-wise that happens because they've switched bodies.
I mean, there's some dilithium crystal stealing and...
Just the mystery of why he's not wearing a bandage.
And where the dilithium crystals went. They went into an alternate dimension.
Yeah, I guess they both needed them. I guess is that what it was?
Yeah.
They both had to steal a set. Okay, that might... Okay, I guess that's... Yeah. All right, yeah. It's a little bit messy, I guess.
It is. It is. Like, again, like, why didn't the first Lazarus just be like, yo, I keep switching places with this crazy person.
Yeah.
Hey, looks like me.
Well, it's for plot reasons. They got to figure it out.
Yeah. And then he says, like, I'm a time traveler, which is just also another lie in red herring.
I guess so, yeah.
It's just... It's all over.
He might have been. We don't know him. We don't know anything about him, really. And we don't get to. But yeah, it seems like that's just a... Well, I mean, it is definitely a misdirection, unless it's a leftover from a rewrite.
No, I think it's supposed to be misdirection. It's just, yeah, it is kind of all over the place,
it's
though.
It's all over the place, yeah. I did end up giving it a 7 because I remembered watching it as a child at my grandparents' house and being in awe of another man from another dimension. I thought it was really cool. This is probably the first time I heard of an alternate dimension, you know, as a concept.
Maybe. I have no idea where I would have first heard of that. Yeah. Probably on Star Trek. Maybe not necessarily this. Yeah. Probably maybe not necessarily this
maybe
episode.
Maybe it was Mirror Mirror. Maybe it was the good alternate dimension episode.
Yeah, the actual alternate dimension episode that we like.
With the goatees. Yeah, now I don't know if I've ever seen it. I wonder if
nobody ever remade a whole series of like DS9 and Voyager episodes about, you know, fucking Lazarus, right?
About the anti-universe, or he calls it something other. He calls it the minus universe, I think.
Yeah, the antimatter universe, the minus universe. Yeah. Yeah, that whole like particles touching. It's like that doesn't mean like actual people. Like, we're literally talking about just protons and neutrons and electrons. So like any antimatter in our universe is just going to immediately start annihilating anything else it touches.
Where do you get antimatter from?
You don't.
Oh, really?
Like nowadays we can make it by smashing atoms together particles together at extremely high speeds and energies.
Okay.
And then sometimes that produces antimatter.
What's anti about it?
It's anti, man.
It's just the opposite. Is it like
they're like every property of matter or energy in the universe has a positive or a negative.
Okay.
Maybe not everything. Maybe I'm describing this wrong. I've read science, but this is kind of how you can describe it. You know, like positive charge, negative, positive.
Right, okay, yeah.
Negative charge, negative, negative electrical charge. Matter and antimatter is like positive existence charge, negative existence charge. And it's...
Wow.
There's nothing like fanciful or like weird about it. It's just like... By the laws of nature, sometimes you get stuff that goes this way, and sometimes you get stuff that way, and it's random chance. And scientists think that when the universe was created, there was no real reason why there should be... Like, antimatter and matter were both created in vast quantities in the Big Bang. But there was slightly more matter than there was antimatter. like about 10% more. So all the antimatter annihilated itself, annihilating 90% of the matter in the early universe and leaving behind the 10% that we see right now.
Wow.
And that is why we have a matter universe, because there was a slight fluctuation in the Big Bang or something, so that, because like the equations of like the universe say there's no reason why there should be more than one or of the other. There's no reason. It just is. And they're like, that's just part of the random chance of like the creation of universes, probably.
So if the dice had come up differently, we would all be like in black and white.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
We'd all be negative right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but that's the thing. If we're all made out of antimatter, we wouldn't notice the difference, because it would just be the same thing.
Why does the other Lazarus think that he is from the anti-universe? Wouldn't he be like, no, I'm from the normal universe?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he kind of says that when Kirk looks at him and is like, the antimatter, and he's like, he looks at him and he's like, yeah, here. You know, sort of saying like, yeah, well, here you call it antimatter, but I call it matter, and you'd be the antimatter.
Yeah.
But it, like, you know, this,
they don't have to go through all that and explain it to us.
Yeah, they don't have to go through all that and explain it to us. No. But yeah, in the real world, the amount of antimatter that like humanity has produced in total, in like really big atom smashers,
right? It's like a gram.
It's like nanograms.
Where do they keep it?
In a vacuum, in an electrical bubble. They don't really like keep it. It produces these experiments and then it evaporates. It goes away because it annihilates. But we're talking about like such small quantities produced at some time. It's like the antimatter and the matter have annihilated. Yeah, a couple antiprotons have annihilated. The amount of energy produced is still like not enough to like warm a cup of coffee. You know, it's only when you annihilate a lot of antimatter, and you're talking about, you know, on the order of like grams or you know, even kilograms. And like I was saying, like in the Star Trek, you know, tech manual books I was looking at, they were like, oh yeah, a photon torpedo has 1.5 grams of matter and 1.5 grams of antimatter in it as its warhead, which produces about like 65 megatons of an explosion, so bigger than the biggest nuclear weapon that humans have ever set off in the 20th century.
Yeah, big.
Fucking big. Big. And that's from a kilogram and a half of antimatter, which is kind of like, you know, in modern terms, in like 21st century terms, just an insane amount of antimatter. At the current rate,
yeah, where did they get it?
Antimatter would take like, it would take like centuries to make a kilogram of antimatter at the rate we're producing it now
for one torpedo.
Yeah,
and that's not even a kilogram and a half.
No, it's really crazy the amount of like energy that Star Trek starships throw around very casually.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but this was a boring episode. I give this episode a 5 out of 10.
Fair.
I give this episode 5 alternate universes out of 10. This might. I don't know if this is my least favorite episode so far, and I'm sure I rated some of the earlier episodes higher.
Yeah.
Than I would. Now, just because I was excited to be starting this project and being like, yeah, we're watching Star Trek original series. Love this shit.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at all of them as a whole once you've had to rate a few, only seeing one or two, you know, like it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go back and weigh all of my answers again, but you kind of could.
I kind of could. Like, I could go back and be like, you know, now that I think of Charlie X, I think I rated Charlie X like a 6 or 7 because I was just happy to be watching Star Trek and we're just starting. Now I go back and be like, no, fuck Charlie X. Charlie X was like a 4.
I think I gave it a 5. Yeah. What do you think, Thresh? What do you think about?
I would definitely give it probably. I'm right there with saying here, like a 5 out of 10. Probably not the best I've seen of TOS, but it's
sure.
It didn't captivate. Like I've been actually kind of going back and watching Next Gen.
Oh, and, cool! That's a good thing to do.
I'm a fan. And yeah, it didn't hit me the way that it didn't hit me the way that I thought it was going to. Like I do enjoy like TOS and like again, I've already explained like you know how I've always been a fan of like Patterns of Force and things like that. Like good solid storytelling. Kind of a forewarning for the future sort of a thing. And it definitely didn't hit the hallmarks that I would usually expect out of a TOS episode.
Yeah, this was a kind of like, I don't even know what this was. There were a lot of problems with this episode. At least the guy playing Lazarus, I guess, did the best he could with the material that he was provided. Him like shouting like a maniac was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I like that part.
Like it definitely gave the foreboding of like,
yeah, like I was giggling at it a little bit, but
yeah,
also yeah, it was still pretty good. He definitely he had a Captain Ahab kind of vibe to him. He's like, I'll follow you to the depth of hell itself.
From hell's heart, I stab at thee.
For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. Yeah.
Wow, that's a hell of a thing to say to someone.
Yeah. One of these days, I'm gonna go back and read Moby Dick.
I feel like I tried to when I was like, you know, 7 and found it incomprehensible.
I was assigned to read portions of it in like 11th grade in like...
That sounds more reasonable.
In like American history class or American literature class. But funnily enough, we didn't read any of the parts with the actual story. We just read all the parts about them talking about whaling.
Oh, sure.
It was a little bizarre, to be perfectly honest, now that I think about it and go back to it, I'm like, why? I feel like these were the chapters we should have skipped, but like, I guess our teacher was really into whaling, and she was like, I don't know. She was like, the way she was tying it into sort of like the development of, like, I guess, New England
the
history.
American, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, we grew up in Connecticut, so it was like the New England history and the development of like New England economics and industry and stuff was tied into the whaling industry.
The harbors and the...
Yeah. You know, like, Massachusetts was like a huge whaling... had like a huge whaling industry back in the day. All these guys were from sailing out of Cape Cod or whatever. Captain Ahab was like a Quaker from Massachusetts or something. That's why I talked with these and thous.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, and his second in command was Mr. Starbuck.
Yeah, I guess that whole like Quaker pacifism thing doesn't apply to whales.
No, if a whale bites your hand off, you get to go full on devil rage.
If it's a person, you know, you have to forgive them.
Yeah, but whales.
Be godly, but whales.
Man, fuck whales. Quakers hate whales.
Anyway, yeah, or maybe he wasn't a Quaker. Maybe he was a. Like a Mennonite or something. I don't know. But it's been, it's been a while.
Yeah, I have no idea. I remember very little. I mean, I remember seeing an animated version of Moby Dick, but I honestly don't really know what the story is. I know that the captain is very angry. I know that Ishmael and Starbuck are there. And I know that, like, the whale, he's got a vengeance against a whale. But I don't know, like... I guess they hunt it down and kill it. I don't know what
they hunt it down and fail to kill it.
Oh, really?
They hunt it down, fail to kill it. Ahab dies, and that's the end of the story.
They don't even like kill each other in a final.
No,
maybe
there's a mutiny or something at some point because
that sounds like something Ahab that would happen.
Crazy. It's like 100 chapters.
The Muppets should have done a Moby Dick, and then I would know.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the reason I know what happens in Treasure Island.
It's a long ass book, but this is what I learned about Herman Melville is that dude goes on tangents.
Oh, I bet it's a lot about the history of everyone and the place and the characters.
Yeah,
Okay, yeah,
and that's what it is. So people,
that
so it's like for I think for most people when you read it, it's very ponderous because
makes sense.
again, it's like I remember reading entire chapters, multiple entire chapters about how whaling works and about whaling ships and about how ships work and about all this fucking detail. Now that I think about it, it's like reading a Neal Stephenson book.
Okay. Oh, yes, I do. I know exactly what you mean, as a matter of fact.
You know, like when you read Cryptonomicon, you were going to learn some fucking cryptography right there while you're reading this book. He's going to teach you it.
That book he wrote about World of Warcraft is really funny.
Oh yeah, that one too.
I'm gonna order a copy of Moby Dick right now.
Man, yeah.
Because my library is fucking destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
How did that happen? I didn't hear about this, I don't think.
don't think I heard about this either.
I mean, you may, I mean, I probably talked about it a little bit, but I mean, there were obviously there's been, you know that there's been flooding here this year. Like there was one particular evening I was talking to you, Saint, where like the water was coming up into the bathtub.
Oh my God.
But on August 18th, like it was up right to the foundation of my house. Like it would, like if I could walk out the front door, like it was like 2 inches away from coming up under the floorboards. It was like at the house. And
Oh my God.
more or less, the library is downhill from me. So they were just, it was just, you saw the photo, they were
Yeah.
destroyed.
In a day.
Oh no.
Completely covered. Yeah, underwater. So big disaster.
Dude.
So lucky for me, I had a few books out that I get to keep, I guess.
Yeah.
But I should, I mean, there must be, I probably can go to another town at this point. I'm not sure exactly. They're in it.
Yeah.
They were in a network, so I can probably find out.
Yeah. No, I know you can go to other towns because I know my mom, who still lives in the same area, goes to like
Yeah.
different libraries in the
Oh,
different
yeah.
and in different towns nearby to get books.
Yeah, I should find out, I guess.
Yeah.
But I do, but you know, but you have inspired me. I'm gonna see. I mean, I might give up, but I should read some. I'm watching real old TV and real classic things and, you know, experiencing historical literature. I should probably read Moby Dick at some point.
Make some time for Moby Dick. Maybe we can make it a project. We can make a podcast about Herman Melville.
You want to do it? You want to read Moby Dick?
Oh shit! All right, let's do
7.49 on Amazon.
Let's make it a plan.
Wow.
Let's. All right, I'll start. Yeah.
We'll set a date for ourselves. I was going to start reading this new Neal Stephenson book, but I'll read Moby Dick
Do
instead.
that. Well, I want to read. I want to. I'm like, you know, one tenth into Dolores Claiborne. I would like to finish that. So if you want to, like a
Oh,
week or a
Dolores
couple
Claiborne's
weeks.
so good.
I'm only
I love
familiar
that
with the
book.
movie. I haven't read the book, so I'm
I
excited.
read the book a long, long time ago. Yeah, it's super good. Like probably one of the few excuse me.
Oh, bless you.
One of the few Stephen King books that like I've actually read like from cover to cover, like in a
Cool.
handful of sittings. It's super good.
Yeah, it seems like a real fast one. Like it really is like it really just kind of rips right along. It's like one, the whole format of the thing is a woman's confession that she's delivering orally. So it's like it's very, there's a lot of mane and affections and accents and stuff, and it's just like, yeah, it's really easy to read. Like it really just, it's just a woman talking.
It's a woman telling you a
Free
story, yeah.
on Kindle or
Oh, what? Moby Dick or?
free on Kindle Unlimited. Oh yeah, just free on Kindle by now with one click. I might buy a paperback anyway, just because you can get a paperback of this for like $6.
Yeah, it is fun to have a paperback.
And I feel like an old book like Moby
Oh,
Dick,
it is
I should
99 cents on Audible, but I would like to read a paperback, yeah.
I think this is the book I want to like read a
Like
paperback of.
read, like turn the pages like it's 18. When was this written? Oh, excuse me, I'm like burping.
the late 1800s. I just want to make sure
he died in 1891, so it probably was written in the 1800s.
mid-1800s.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that this actual cheapest copy that I see here has the entire story in it and not just like part of it or something. Anyway, yeah. So, I guess that's it for Star Trek tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for talking to me about it.
Yeah, thanks for having us, as always.
But yeah, we'll talk about when we're going to start reading Moby Dick and when you want to... Yeah, I'll be in touch. We don't have to decide exactly right now, Saint. But and Thrash, if you're, I'll say something in the book club. Anyone that wants to read Moby Dick,
I'm down. I'll try to find some copy of it somewhere. I'm sure I can.
Yeah, keeping in mind that it is
ponderous,
kind of ponderous. Yeah, because it's old. But we're gonna give it a try. We're gonna challenge ourselves.
Great! I'm excited to read Moby Dick. Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. Well, yeah, we gotta catch up with y'all. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Night, gang.
Peace. Good night.
Yeah, Moby Dick podcast coming really soon. I mean, I think that's gonna be season 3 of Maybe We'll Talk, and we're gonna wrap up season 2 of that really soon. Stay tuned. Available wherever podcasts are sold. Thank you. So you were both right.
Ish.
Ish.
Ish. I've forgotten the antimatter universe bit, I think, because it is so, how do you say, dumb.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
It can be great and dumb, and you know this, Dave.
Yeah, yep, that's correct. I definitely saw this as a child, and I definitely, like, what happened is that later on in life, like, someone mentioned Mirror to me, and I was like, oh, the one with the alternate evil universe, because this episode doesn't explicitly say that, but you can see a child getting the read from this that, oh, it was an evil guy from an evil universe, even though, spoiler alert, our guy was evil, but anyway... I had this confused.
Even the goatee, though, just like they would in the mirror universe. So, like,
they both have the goatee, so it's cheating.
Yes. Although one of them looks much more insanely bearded. Like, one of the beards is much more like a...
Wild?
Unkempt, yes, wild.
Yeah.
I think it's great because I remember seeing this one. But yeah, and I ended up describing those film negative sequences of them moving through the negative tunnel into the other universe. I must have been describing them to Saint because he was like, I don't really remember that in Mirror Mirror. Anyway, the alternative factor. Yeah. The alternative factor. So the alternative to this crazy old man is a perfectly sane old man that says, I'll trap the crazy old man outside of space and time for you.
That wasn't doing anything, so yeah, might as well.
Peace.
It occurs to me that if they were really fast, they could have just thrown the crazy man in and blown up the spaceship, and everyone could have gone about their day without...
I'm really curious about not just phasering him to death.
Because that would kill him. And this way is so much worse.
Yeah. This
is impressively worse. Yes.
This is Black Mirror, the prison of the...
Yeah.
The computer prism. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, any number of them, but yes.
Yeah, there's one where there's a chick who's basically imprisoned within, like, a computer system. They take... the consciousness and make that the computer operating system.
Oh, yeah. She runs the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just being that...
John Hamm is there.
Yes, he is.
There were several Black Mirror things that were pseudo-Star Trek-y, but so much worse.
The whole mind clones became a real theme for at least one whole season of that show.
They really did. They got really fixated on that.
It is a really horrifying idea.
Yeah, it's really awful. It's really, yeah. The it culminates in an episode called, is it called Black Museum? Yeah, where it's just,
is that season?
I mean,
the museum.
Where did we start? Oh, the lady white. No, White Christmas is like, it's either like, I think it's like White Christmas is the end of one season, and then the next season has like a ton of mind clone stuff. Whichever one culminates in Black Museum, which is just, it's like too much at that point.
I just didn't realize Black Museum was the same season as all the mind clone stuff, because like that was the, if I remember correctly, Black Museum was the episode where they had like the literal museum with all the Easter eggs from both, like from everything up to that point, right? So.
Yeah, I think it, yeah, so that's late.
Yeah.
I mean, they do the mind clone thing over several seasons, I'm sure. They do a ton of
it. I'm sure of it, yeah.
They do lots of it. But I think it started with White Christmas, which is the one with John Hamm.
Yeah. John Hamm's one, if I remember correctly, was the guy in the cabin, and he was trying to get a confession. I think that's the White Christmas was the confession episode.
John Hamm is getting the confession out of the guy that they have in a loop that lives in the cabin for some reason. They've requisitioned John Hamm to do the interrogating. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a while. I should rewatch it.
Hamm is he gets like super blocked. Like he gets blocked from society as some kind of punishment. So like when he goes outside, all he sees are white shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the technology that they'd premiered in the mother taking care of her daughter episode, where the daughter gets the same kind of technology so she never gets scared.
Oh, does it block out scary things and pornography?
In that episode, yeah. Mom's got parental like control over every day what the kid can see, and so like the dog barking at the kid gets blurred out type thing.
Oh, what's that one called?
I don't remember. I don't remember most of their names, to be frank.
Yo, Black Mirror is so good. At one point, really, I said that it was the best thing on TV.
It really is. So, yeah.
Pretty low bar.
It is.
Yeah, it is a pretty low bar.
Like, we're literally watching 40, 50-year-old, however-year-old Star Trek here that they're
60.
Tripping off of.
60.
Yeah.
60, dear.
It's terrible. Everything is terrible. I hate it. Man.
Yeah, you know what? Well, season 4 has got at least 2 mind clone episodes, but I think season 3 and season 4 ends with Black Museum. How come I can't see season 3? Shit. Everything was good, but I think season 3 probably has White Christmas in it.
His 5 was Miley Cyrus's season.
5 is Miley Cyrus, yeah.
And which is 6 fucking was cool.
That's a mind clone episode.
It is. And then season 6 is where they premiered what they've been calling Red Mirror.
Yeah.
Which is the supernatural stuff.
List of Black Mirror episodes. Yeah, so I can't go back to season 3, but I do want to see. Here we go. So what was season 2? Be right back. Oh, yeah. Season 2 was still kind of weird. Season 3 is when I started watching it and when it started to get going, I thought. So season 3 starts with White Christmas. Although, actually, White Christmas is a special they put out between 2 and 3. Season 3 has Nosedive, which is social media playtest. Shut Up and Dance is social media. San Junipero is Mind Clones. Men Against Fire is not that. Neither is Hated in the Nation. Yeah, man. Wait. Yeah, so White Christmas, almost the entire third, was before the third season, almost the entire third season does not really have mind clones. I don't know if San Junipero kind of counts. It
kind of does, but it's done for positive reasons, so yeah. I'm not sure. Like, if, you know what I mean?
And it's almost, you wanna hope that something actually gets transferred through. In that, yeah. Although that does end up being one of the Easter eggs in Black Museum.
Actually, if you liked the San Junipero episode, or at least the premise, that's basically the premise of the comedy show Upload.
Right. Yeah. Is that good?
It's not. Season one I watched and it wasn't too bad. I haven't watched anything since and I've heard it's been canceled.
Oh, that's too bad. Maybe I should have said this earlier, but complete spoilers for San Junipero. You know what's really great?
Mm-hmm.
The Good Place.
It is so good. The Good Place is fantastic. I think it's actually the show that got you to start watching TV again. Chaos is a big TV person.
Sure.
So I got him to watch Good Place, Community, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, those have been the comedies that kind of,
yeah,
been bringing him back to it a bit. Then you've got all obviously the like MCU, Star Wars, Disney Plus awesomeness that's helped. Like Only Murders.
So many murders.
So the guys, the boys are cruising around and they notice that a magnetic field and a whole planet seem to blink out of existence nearby, yep. Which seems dangerous. And there's one man on the planet and he's come down in the little UFO that the bad guy drives in Super Mario Land. Oh, you said it reminded you of the episode where men were throwing logs. Like, this is a little prop from some other TV show. I like the UFO spaceship that Mr. Lazarus comes in.
I think the UFO spaceship is actually closer to Dr. Robotnik's from Sonic than anything from Super Mario.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's a real Robotnik mobile, as a matter of fact. Yeah, you're correct about that. And there's a crazy beard man who is very upset about something and he's screaming about, you know what, I think that I think the problem with this episode, I don't know exactly what, you know, other people have seen throughout the years or whatever, because I do think the ending is fun, but I think a lot of the problem is that there's so much just back and forthing. Like, there's so much of this guy, like, so much of the middle of this episode is this guy coming out and going, it's not too late to stop him. We have to stop him. Give me the crystals. Where are the crystals? And they're going up and they're beaming up and down from the planet. They're looking for him because McCoy checks him out and just lets him go. So he's running around the ship and they're chasing him around. They're beaming back and down from the place where Kirk fought the Gorn. And he's, you know, turning back and forth into his evil self. And his, we don't know that the reveal is at the end is that the alternate man is the good self, but the good self is stealing the crystals so the evil self doesn't go through and destroy both universes. He's screaming about how his enemy is anti-life, a hideous murdering thing. He really is, a madman.
It's wild. Pretty wild.
It's wild. The center, the middle of the episode just feels just back and forthy. Just a ton of up and downing.
It feels like there was a lot of time devoted to not a lot of progression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And so much of him screaming about something. And yeah, and the thing that caused me to start realizing that this is the episode that I saw that I thought was Mirror Mirror was there are all of these segments of him fighting his shadow self while on acid, I guess. All types of effects, all types of weird effects in this one. There's like the spinning Batman screen flying away while Space Nebula is pulsing in the background. And like, negative film effect of two men dressed the same fighting while rotating upside down in what we find out is a space corridor outside of time meant to protect the positive universe and the negative one. The antimatter universe. The anti-universe.
Mildly unclear what the hell is going on for most of the episode.
Which is probably what contributes to the low rating. There's a lot of what?
Part of the problem is that it's mildly unclear,
I'm still not sure which of them is the bad guy, if I'm being perfectly honest.
The bad guy has a bandage on his head and a more wild beard, and he looks like he got blown up by like a Bugs Bunny bomb, like a Looney Tunes explosive device. Like, his clothes are in tatters, but you can tell someone just did it with the scissors. Yeah, there's some stuff that looks like wizard duels going on. Sometimes it looks like they're casting spells at each other. Sometimes there's these real radical tilt blurs where everything is just sideways. Like, it's...
it's wild. It is a wild...
How intensely stealable the dilithium crystals were.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize you could just pick them up with your bare hand and put them in your pocket. I figured you would need some kind of container. For the record,
and not. Oh my god.
No, that's not, that's normally not permitted.
Later continuity makes it agonizingly clear.
Really, this just it further highlighted, and it came up during it, like we talked about it while we were watching the episode. It just further highlights how shitty this military vehicle with top secrets and da-da-da-da-da is about their fucking security.
It's incredible, yeah. You can just stick them in your jacket pockets and just waltz right out of there. I mean, the military doctor will, if you're located alone, the sole survivor of some mysterious event that decimated your planet or maybe blinked it out of existence, the doctor is going to take one look at you, slap a band-aid on your forehead, and say, "Go ahead. Why don't you just wander around the ship and look at whatever you want?
It should be fine. Everything's great.
Steal that down there is the engineering bay. There's probably some dilithium crystals in there if you want to take a look at them. They're pretty cool.
Here, Khan, have our entire ship's schematic.
Yeah, here's all of the information we have about everything we know. Look, just browse look, through look. This.
Lower Decks got it right. Lower Decks got so much if it right.
At some point they get Lazarus, the man from our dimension. By the way, anti-universe is probably a worse place than mirror universe. And in fact it is, because if you meet yourself, everything, the whole universe will blink out of existence.
Apparently, that's how antimatter works, yes.
Yeah. Do we talk a lot about...
sci-fi.
That is kind of a thing. Yeah, you've seen that in other places.
Yeah. This is very standard sci-fi level 101. We don't understand matter and antimatter.
Do we end up using antimatter in, like, TNG and stuff? Is there some point where there's antimatter in the core or anything like that? Or do we kind of forget about it?
Warp drive is still operated by a antimatter reaction.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
The reaction is channeled through the dilithium crystals.
But the ones that go in my pocket.
Yeah, the ones that you took out with your hands and
stick
in your
them
pocket.
Right in
yeah.
your stick them right in your.
They pocket, are yeah. they are channeling what I would like to casually call fucking irrational amounts of power.
Oh, good.
Goddamn, psychotically irrational amounts of power. But yeah, they're in his pocket now, and I don't have words.
At one point, they get Dr. Lazarus in the med bay, and they're talking to him, and he says he's a time traveler. Do we suspect that's true, or is he just saying things?
I think he's just talking.
Okay, because it doesn't...
like, anything to get them to let me back at the dilithium crystals, really.
Anything to have them drop their guards so I can wander freely around the ship and collect whatever I want.
I need to go get more dilithium crystals from the dilithium crystal bucket.
Dispensary, yeah. Because I was driven so mad to learn of the alternate universe.
Yeah, that's how, they're not plugged into the warp core. That's the vending machine for the spares.
Yeah. And back in the day, they would just print them. They didn't understand how dangerous they were. They would just be like... falling out of the fucking thing, like lying on the floor and shit, melting
it's
through the
hole. That's why replicators were invented in the first place.
We need to why don't they replicate dilithium crystals?
Complicated sci-fi reasons.
Right.
I think it's explained at some point about there's some volatility with it being replicated and it's dangerous.
Remember when Scotty gets upset that the dilithium crystals are going to shatter on the D?
In four dimensions, like that was the explanation I ran into ages ago as to why you can't just copy them.
Oh,
they're essentially, for all intents and purposes, just quartz, quote unquote. but they have to have been sitting in a specific location. Yeah, geological bullshit. Like, they have to undergo a process
where they become what they become. Inexorably linked to subspace or antimatter. Hand wave.
Sorcery. The answer is actually sorcery.
So, speaking of sorcery, Kirk and Spock detect on the planet a spot where there is radiation coming in from outside of the universe.
Yes.
What do you guys think happened to the civilization on this planet?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to say it's probably something to do with this hole in the universe thing and you know, negative energies and positive energy. You know what I mean?
I'm sticking with by the end of the episode, like, he's just lying. No, both of them are just lying constantly.
They both just crashed here.
You will not understand. Like, seriously, I can't tell you what happened. Your tiny little pea brains won't get it.
Because one of them...
Your whole dimension from being destroyed. Get out of my damn way.
That takes priority. We don't... Yeah. you might not end up with an ex... This is going to be a classic Star Trek ending. You're not going to get much more of an explanation other than... you're going to have to think about us floating in space and wrestling for eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of them says that... You know, one of them says the other one destroyed his whole civilization, but the other guy says, oh, when this guy discovered there was an anti-universe, I already said this, he went mad and decided to destroy both universes. Yeah. So that's, yeah. And then
I'm very firmly sitting on the pile of, no, we don't know if either or both of them are lying. Who knows? They're gone now. Thank God.
This would be a weird thing to review. It's almost like those guys in Superman 2 that are trapped in, like, negative space somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's the prison that the flattened in prison thing from
flat prison
in the Flatland and then hooked across space.
What was his name now?
And Zod.
Zod. There we go. That's the
Neil before Zod.
Yeah, there we go.
What's Flatland?
Well, in real life, it's land that is flat.
It is an old thought experiment from, I want to say, the 50s or 60s about a two-dimensional space that would be inhabited, and what would the inhabitants of such a space be?
I think it's because they were basically trying to figure out, if we live in three dimensions and a four-dimensional creature was trying to look at us, we'd look weird. How would it be if we did the same for a two-dimensional space? Because obviously we would just be unable to tell that there was living beings within that two-dimensional space, right? So we can't look down on that dimension and see it.
I think someone eventually made a weird short film of it out of Flatland.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was an old sci-fi.
And they go there on the Orville.
Yes, and then the Orville.
I think there was an episode about it. Yeah.
It is one of the few things about the Orville that is vaguely in my brain properly.
In the middle of this episode, I was thinking it was going to be a 4. I'm going to give it a 7 because I like the grim weirdo ending.
All right.
Oh, fates worse than death are hilarious.
Right.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. I like it. I like the ending. I laughed with when they did it all the time in Black Mirror. So, like, this kind of ending is great.
Yep.
I don't know. It just, the middle dragged too much with the not doing anything.
Very much so.
Yeah. What about you?
I think both of you are intensely generous towards this episode.
This whole series.
Yeah, we really are. There's a lot of 9s and 10s in here.
Oh, this is a failure of Star Trek.
Okay, that's good. I love. Tell me.
There is no rhyme or reason given to the trust given to this moron wandering around the ship.
That's just the 1960s.
Kirk throws away a few lines about his medical officer is playing pranks.
Yeah,
during the red alert. During what is essentially a declared war.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bones, you're so silly.
Telling me riddles.
Silly little guy.
Who's the little guy who got divorced? You got divorced. Yes, you are. Popping up the dilithium crystals like they're a game cartridge.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they were like, yes.
At this point, I believe they have firmly established it's a matter-antimatter reaction, and the dilithium crystals mediate this reaction.
Hmm.
So...
I don't think we've gotten into the science of it yet.
Okay.
We're still only in season one.
I don't know if we've talked about dilithium crystals yet, but yeah, I don't know.
Regardless, let's just pop those out of here.
just pop them right out.
What else? Oh my god, there's so much.
The effects, a lot of the visual effects, while like nothing is
part of the charm.
The visual effects I have no objection to. They were doing what they needed to do, and I like Wizards by Ralph Bakshi.
So. Yeah, there were wizard duels going on.
Yeah.
Wizards is dope as fuck, by the way.
The declaration
is terrible, and both of you are stoned.
The declaration that this is an invasion because the whole galaxy blinked.
Yeah,
like oh, okay,
sounds bad. I mean,
they get into that with documentary Doctor Who when they had the Weeping Angels, and all of humanity blinks, and then they die.
That's what this feels like. This feels like a fucking Doctor Who episode.
Now we're onto something. Yeah.
Try it.
Okay.
Swibbly, timey-wimey. This is a 4 at most. Oh my god.
Okay, awesome. Love to hear it.
That is a generous 4.
Love it when someone goes below 5.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, does it?
No.
Oh, yeah. No. Right down to the whole, we still don't, like, none of his stories match the last story.
No. None of them. Yeah, you're right. They were both just lying the whole time. They were both just making shit up.
None of them explain the swapping with each other.
No, it's.
Like, they've got a ship that crosses dimensions. Sure, whatever. Cool.
So if every time Lazarus went through, the other guy was ready to fight him in between and switch places, why was he not ready to do that? Why did there need to be a plan at the end? All he had to do was say, all right, Kirk, next time we both go in there, because it seems like we both have to at the same time, blow up the ship. Like, it doesn't seem like Kirk has to wrestle him and chuck him in there at the end.
No, Kirk did not have to wrestle him and chuck him in there. Kirk needed to phaser his ass and huck him in there.
Yes.
Like this.
Or just phaser him to death.
Dude, 6 of one, half a dozen of another. Right. Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. No, nonsensical end of a Doctor Who episode. They haven't explained it. But, you know, Doctor Who gets away with this because Doctor Who is not science fiction.
Right.
At all. There is no science to their fiction.
Yeah, it's fantasy romp type of...
No, it's what is it, science? It's not science fiction, it's science fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no pretense that what you are watching is sensible, right down to the continuity corrections, where they're all like, oh yeah, no, I was lying. Well, that was your best friend, and it was life and death, and the universe was on the line. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Totally lying. Of course I was lying. The doctor lies. Meanwhile, this guy, I still don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what was the truth? Does it matter anymore? No, we threw him into another dimension and phasered his ship. That is a very Doctor Who solution to this problem.
Yeah, it feels very Tenet too, specifically.
The other me is a horrible monster destroyer of worlds bent on destruction of. And then you meet the other guy and he's like, no, the other guy is like that, not me.
The other guy, meanwhile, the only difference between the two is a little bit of makeup and whether or not they've taken their fucking Vicodin this morning.
Yes.
Why Vicodin?
Why not? I'm trying to give him a stabilizing drug and that was the only one that's propping up.
Vicodin is a pain reliever, isn't it?
It's mostly pain reliever.
Yeah, so it's not mood stabilizing at all, so why Vicodin?
Valium. The guy, yeah.
Valium, there we go.
There you go.
One of them missed their meds this morning, and the other one is, generous four.
I don't know. The other one slept in and is, you know, got his coffee and everything and is, you know, fresh. Number one hasn't slept in like 2 weeks and, yeah, hasn't gotten his meds.
Yeah. You know, I am not going to give this a throwaway seven because that's crazy talk. I used to host a bad movie night. I know shitty TV when I'm looking at it. This is shitty. We would have watched this, but this would have had popcorn thrown at the screen, light heckling, and I would have taken a break to make brownies. Because, God.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is what we get for not showing him good television.
Awesome. We were going to watch the best episode.
It's way better content.
And then realize that we forgot to watch the worst episode.
I'm not sure if it's actually the worst, but no, it's pretty incoherent.
I haven't gotten all the ratings off of IMDb. It's the worst rated one per IMDb specifically of this season. Yeah, I haven't gotten the next two seasons yet, so this might not be the worst one. We have yet to find out.
You know what this makes me want to watch?
It's not Wizards. We're not watching Wizards.
Lower Decks.
Yeah, but everything makes you want to watch Lower Decks.
Not quite everything. Some things make me want to watch Doctor Who.
Well, I will be here this evening between 8 or 9 when I get home, and... we will watch Lower Decks if you guys want it.
No.
It is Monday after all.
Yeah. Monday is what, 4 episodes?
Yeah. And we're into season 2 now. We will be starting at season 2, episode 3. Okay. Thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room, a podcast about pod and Star Trek. The question of the week this week is, what do you think anti-you is like? Do you think they would want to kill you so bad that they would risk destroying the universe? Would you want to kill them just as badly? Raven says, I made a TTRPG character who is a lot unlike me, a werewolf and a gun nut. Also, he's probably into guys. I think of him as my son. The anti-me, as in a malicious doppelganger, is scary. Maybe we can make peace and my spouse could be a hinge. Hey, that's okay. Also, I've stopped drinking coffee because it gives me the poops as well. We were talking about coffee in the last episode. Locke says, a me who was a full opposite would be super angry and aggressive and cruel, but would be too dumb to do anything about it. Yeah, I would hope that most of us would find that that's the case. Locke continues, a me who was an opposite as far as value systems and philosophy would be such a strange bird. Maybe a kind of Pennywise working on Wall Street type of vibe. That's bad. Don't know if he would hate me or just be indifferent to me. I'd prefer to reconcile with him and understand him from a Jungian perspective, but I'd probably have to kill him because he'd be a threat to human flourishing on a small scale. Weebs says, I already am the anti-me. Other me has kids and a wife and good health, and I don't think they'd want to break the universe to kill me, nor I them, but we're both glad enough we don't have to see each other. Surreptitious Music says, anti-me is real dangerous, because obviously he is very debonair and handsome and witty, etc. But also, A, highly motivated, B, to do evil. I guess what this demonstrates is that my personality is essential to my being, and therefore persists in the mirror universe. But my morals are a matter of contingency that is different there. A little bit later, he actually wrote, "Now that I think of it, this is actually the whole point of the mirror universe," and he's right. And that made me realize that this was the wrong question for this episode, because this is a question for mirror universe, where the guy on the other side is actually your opposite philosophically and probably personality-wise. That's not what this episode, The Alternative Factor, is about. This is just about the minus universe, the anti-universe, where you are made out of antimatter. Obviously, it's complicated. Obviously, we've talked about it enough so far. But, yeah. I don't know, so maybe when we get to the mirror universe, I'll ask about what you made out of it. I probably won't. Whatever. Anyway, History Buff says his anti would not be a lover of history by any means, and not a lover of history by any means, and excelled in math and graduated college, and no, I don't think they would want to kill me, nor would I want to kill them. I would love to learn from them, and I'm sure I could make them love history as much as I do. And maybe their Twitch handle is MathematicsBuff1117. I thought that was a very funny answer. Okay, our next episode... Oh, God, I'm sniffling. Sorry, excuse me. I'm not going to edit that out. Yeah, I'd edit out a lot of sniffles. And, I mean, you'd be with all the food eating and stuff you hear, you can't... It, most of the time, any noises, sniffling, and food eating that stays in is because I cannot cut it out. Sometimes the cat will be sitting on me and there'll be like a slight sniffle or a munching, and I'll be like, well, I can't sit up and really get close and edit that out from between the words. But anyway, I thought I wasn't going to talk about making the sausage. So next week we are going to talk about The City on the Edge of Forever. And the question is going to be, do you think you have free will? Or is this predestined? Should it be a question like if you were going to go back in time to save Harambe, but then Spock told you that Harambe is going to lead an era of peace that's going to collapse into terror and Nazis taking over forever? would you allow Harambe to be killed? That's not good. All right. See you next week. Thank you.